Look in your Bible, please, in the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, means going out. Exodus means going out. Here, this unique encounter. I want to read quite a few verses here, beginning with Exodus chapter number 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither, and put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face as he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large and into a land flow of milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is his name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of the Egyptians into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. I leave off the reading there, but I want us to bow together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would breathe on me today. Our Father, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to your mercy you saved us. And God, I pray this morning that God, you would manifest yourself in this place. I pray, God, for the divine visitation of the Holy Ghost of God upon every heart and life here. Lord, I pray you lift every burden, every care. I pray, blessed Holy Ghost of God, that you'd minister life to people who are dead in trespasses and sin, that they might live eternally. I want to thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we saw love at Calvary. We saw what you did for us. And God, you've not quit loving us. You loved us with an everlasting love. And I pray now the Holy Ghost of God to give me that unction, that anointing to preach. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to call your attention back to one passage of Scripture here just briefly this morning. And if you will, look at verse number 18 once again. And they shall hearken to the voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. What an awesome statement that is. The Lord God hath met with us. And what a thank the Lord for that. Look over, if you will, please, in chapter 5, at verse 3, and listen to this testimonial once again. In chapter 5, verse 3, and they said, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with sword. Notice the statement, the Lord God hath met with us. And I want to share with you just three little truths this morning. Number one, I want you to notice the awesome person of that encounter. The Lord God hath met with us. Notice the unique privilege of that. The Lord God hath met with us. And then, if you will, I want to look for just a few moments at the intended purpose of that meeting. The awesome person of this encounter. The Lord God hath met with us. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. God hath met with us. We've had services where we felt God's presence, and people would say something like this, the Lord showed up, or the Lord was here this morning, or I felt God this morning. Do you understand what you're saying when you say that? The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. The awesome person that we're talking about. We're talking about the Creator God, the one who fashioned everything. The one who made everything in its uniqueness, made everything in his wonderful creative design. He fashioned everything, spoken into existence. And now for 6,000 years, in every school of learning around the world, in every discipline of life, whether it's the study of botany, or the study of biology, or study of chemistry, or calculus, or whatever it is, whether it has to do whatever realm of science, for all these years, men have just simply been discovering and uncovering what God set in place as the time began. God's doing that. Think about all the awesome God. This God of creation, the God who spoke everything into creation, hath met with us. Oh, think about that, the awesome person that we're talking about, the God who was before everything. There was nothing before him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and he fashioned everything that you see. This God that they made everything. And think about this uniqueness of his creation. Think about everything he made, all the vast worlds that we know nothing about, and that every day it seems that there are new discoveries of what God set in motion over 6,000 years ago. God's doing that. Every discipline, every person in college who's entering college at this time of the year and enrolled in to study a course is simply those who have somehow opened up and looked at what God has created, or some discipline God set in order. The study of physics is only God's hand in creation. It has to do with movement and powers and resistances and all those things. But God set all that in place. It's all already been here. God did that. And for all these 6,000 years, men have simply been amazed at the awe of what God did, and seeing how he's done it. And the more you look at it, the more you stand in awe of his creative act. All that he made, all the animals. And there are animals that are so finite that we can't even see them with the naked eye. And they have life cycles, and they go through reproduction, and they do all kind of unique things. There are animals in certain parts of this world, in the depths of the sea, where the seas are as deep as the mountains are high, that human eyes have never seen. And they're there. God created and fashioned them. And they all have life. And this great God that we're talking about, who fashioned all of that, he didn't just wind it up like a clock and go off. The Bible said by him, we all live and move and have our being. That he is the one by whom all things consist. He fashioned everything, made everything, orchestrates everything, and he still has his hand in it. My dear friend, he fashioned the birds. He made the birds, and I preach about the birds. But you think about all the different varieties of birds. Think about their melodious voice. Think about the sound they make. And those who've studied birds, and they recognize they're different in their species and different in their correlation and different in their voices. And God knows them. He created all that wide range of sound. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And the God that I'm talking about, the God that met with Moses, the God that meets with us, is the God who fashioned all of that. And not only did he make it, he sustains it, he keeps it going, but he's involved in it. He feeds all of that, those birds, all of the animals every day. He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. That God hath met with us. But the awesome person that I'm talking about is the God who has the capability to sustain life and keep all of this vast world in existence. The vegetation life, the natural life, the human life, all of it. God's doing that now. And he met with us. And he is met with you at some occasion. Think about the unique person of this. And think about how that God knows. The Bible says that not one sparrow falls on the ground without your heavenly Father knowing that. He knows their voice. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There's uniqueness. I had a pastor's wife come to me who had just a great tragedy in her home. The breakup of their marriage after several years. And she said the morning that she realized her husband had left and forsaken her and left the church and everything else and gone. She said there was a bird outside her window, a mockingbird or something. And she said she was in such depression and she was weeping and crying. And she heard that bird, and somewhere along the line, she'd heard the message on the birds that's still singing. And she said she recognized that bird's voice, or she heard it audibly that day for the first time. But she said then every morning, there were other birds and she could hear them, but she recognized his voice. And I think about the great God who meets with us. He knows every one of their voices. He gave them that ability, but he knows the uniqueness of their voice. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We have a mockingbird outside of our house, and he gets up on the telephone pole, and I go out and sit in the yard, and he'll get up there, and he'll talk, and he'll sing, and everything else. And he's there every morning, and he's praising God. I don't know what he's saying, but God understands every bit of it. And God hears all the voices of all of his creation, and he knows what everyone of them's saying. He knows their need. He meets their need. He blesses them. But he hears us. He hears all of our prayers. He said, call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm talking about this God, the awesomeness of this person. He's able to hear all of his created being at one time. He knows every one of what they're saying. He understands the speech of the bullfrog and of the bird. He understands all that. But all of creation, he understands all the voices of every human being he's fashioned. And when he fashioned man out of the dust of the earth, you think about he fashioned man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostril breath of life, man became a living soul. The uniqueness of the human body, great God who fashioned that. It is a continuous study over at Campbell University. They've just built that big medical school over there. And in Durham, they have medical schools. And around the world, there are medical schools. And what they're doing is studying the intricate design of God, something he fashioned by forming it out of the dust. And the breath of God made a living soul, and it has been the source of study for over 6,000 years now, and they learn something new about it every day. You think about it, inside your heart is a muscle called your heart. It beats somewhere in the neighborhood of one time every second, a little more than that, actually. It beats 70 times a minute. It's doing that. Some of you are here today. You're in your 60s and 70s. Somebody might be here that's 80. And for 80 years, 24/7, that muscle's been doing that, and you didn't have one thing to do with it. You never had to think, I've got to make my heart beat this morning. You go off to sleep and you rest. You didn't have to say, I've got to make my heart beat. Why is it doing that? There's a great God who fashioned that, the awesome God of heaven, and it's happening to every person in this building, every person in North Carolina, every person around the world, and the holy God is doing that, and it runs off an electrical charge. God did that. The uniqueness of the human body. The nerve endings of your body, your spinal column, all the sensitivities of your body, the sense of smell and taste and all those things. God made that. He fashioned that. God fashioned that unique thing called the human eye. It is an amazing thing. There's no way even a computer can react as quickly as the human eye to adjust itself and to see and visualize and discern shapes and sizes and colors. God made that body. Oh, the awesomeness of this person that met with them. The God of creation. That awesome God of creation that fashioned everything. And he made this body with an immune system that heals itself. I mean, on some rare occasions, there's a cut in the flesh and it may leave a scar. But God heals that body. It has incorporated in that body, that immune system, the capability through the blood to rush to where there's a need at. To encapsulate infection and intruders into that body and to expel it from the body and then to mass itself and create new flesh and heal that wound. Just, you don't have to do that. You don't have to think about that. Thank God for the unique properties of the human body and how he fashioned us that way. That's a God. That's the unique. This is the awesome person that met with Moses, the awesome person of creation, the awesome person of salvation met with us. The God who looked down through humanity and who through time, and he saw their sin and their alienation and his desire. He fashioned man out of the dust of the earth, and he fellowshiped with man, walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and then sin entered in, and it all was corrupted. And then God set in fashion a plan and knew it even before the foundation of the world to redeem fallen man. And do you know what? The redeemed man is far superior to the natural man. Oh, I can see that door, and I can see a little ways down the road, and I can actually see my Bible, although I can't discern all the little figures in it all the time. I can see that. But by the eye of faith, I can see a city built on the other side, walls of jasper, streets of gold. My dear friend, I can speak to you here audibly, and you can hear my voice. If you're in a distant place, I could pick up a phone and call you. Brother Donnie and I were riding back from Chapel Hill some time ago, and he and I was talking, and he was trying to call Melissa Cynthia one and couldn't get it to work. And my phone rang, and I answered it. It was Tom Feliciano, halfway around the world in the Philippines, and we talked on the phone. That's a unique thing. And what an ability that through that piece of machinery, through that technology, through that electronics, I can communicate and you can talk on the phone. But look, think about this. That's a long ways halfway around the world. But I can reach far beyond the sun, the stars, and the moon. And I can have an encounter with God through the medium of prayer. And I can talk to him and he hears every word distinctly. He knows me in the spirit man and the Holy Ghost of God working in me and in you. You have the capability to talk to another world. Well, listen, that's the God that set that up, the God that fashioned that, and he fixed it to where he gave his own son, and in some unique way, great is the mystery of godliness, that in him was all the Godhead dwelt bodily, Jesus Christ incarnated in human flesh, all of the Godhead. David had a desire to build a palace or tabernacle or a place, temple for the Lord, and God said, hey, the heavens can't contain me, and you want to build me a house. But my dear friend, listen, great is the mystery of godliness according to the word of God, that in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I can't explain that to you. How that all of God, all of the Father, all of the Holy Spirit, and all of the Son was in that human body. And he's omnipresent. That means he was in that body, but he was also in heaven. Jesus himself was in heaven. The Holy Spirit of God was in heaven. God the Father was in heaven. But wherever God the Son went, God the Father went. Wherever God the Son went, the Holy Ghost went. The uniqueness of it. All that creative act whereby he fashioned that body in a virgin's womb and then he made his abode there, Emmanuel, God with us. And I don't understand the uniqueness of it, but somehow this great God was able to look down through time at all the sins of every boy and girl, every man and woman. He knew them. He had calculated them. He knew exactly how many they were. He didn't miss one, not one that you and I may overlook, not one that we've forgotten. But he said he took all the sins of all the ages, all the whole world, and put it on his son at Calvary. And at Calvary, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and he died. That what a God that is that could do that, the God of salvation, and give us everlasting life. Man, listen, they labor and labor in longevity. I was listening to Brother Roy. As he was, Brother Roy Lyle was talking about the area he went in to work with the Wyoming Indians. And when they went in there some 40 some odd years ago, the life expectancy was somewhere in the mid 40s. And now that grace has come and God's working and God's moving and some change in their lifestyle, some of them live into their 70s. And then there are some people who live to 80. And if you hear of anybody who lives 100, isn't that a unique thing? I have had some awful responsibilities and awesome privileges. And Mr. Jack across here, Bobby's daddy and mama, they died within a 14-day period. I did both of their funerals. And I've thought about that in all of my ministry. Two individuals, 95 years old, and that 14-day period between the time he died and she died, as long as they were ever separated in their married life, they were married something over 70 years. And that blows my mind when I think about that. And then I hear people from time to time who live to be 100, who have all their faculties at 100 or 105 or whatever. And I heard some time ago that the oldest living person died, I forget, 114, 115 years old. And we say, wow, 114 years old. But when God saved you, He gave you everlasting life. I'm talking about 100 years as a drop in the bucket for how long you're going to live. God in salvation, this God, this unique person, made it to where not only He fashioned you and gave you physical life and wonderful, amazing parts of your body and the functions of your body, but when He saved you, He gave you, made you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if in man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And the capability of that new man is staggering, that you and I will live forever and ever and ever. That God of creation, that God of salvation, and incorporated in that act of salvation is not only the new nature and the new body and the eternal life, but it has to do with divine residence. He's made us a place, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And that God met with us. That God is here this morning. That God of creation, that God of salvation, the uniqueness of His, the awesomeness of His person, and what power He has. There is no limit to His understanding. He knows everything effortlessly. He knows all of your thoughts. Every thought in this building, every thought around the world, He knows what everybody's thinking. He knows everything about everybody, all, even the very hairs of your head. And there's not one thing He does not know effortlessly. What a unique God. God, this awesome God, His power is limitless. There's not one thing He cannot do. He can open the Red Sea. He can open the River Jordan. He can resurrect the dead. He can send down fire from heaven. He can open the earth at His whim. He's a great God. This unique, this awesome God hath met with us. But notice not only Moses, this awesome God that met with him, but I want you to notice unique privilege. I don't know, you may not know this, but Moses was not the only man on the earth. And the nation of Israel was not the only nation on the face of the earth. And yet God, the sovereign God, who created everything and fashioned everything, by whom all things consist, He came to where He was. Notice the uniqueness of this privilege, that God met him. He did not translate him out of that desert environment and bring him to a celestial city where he just stood with his mouth wide open and his eyes blaring and perhaps fall on his face, struck with the beauty and the awesomeness and with the very presence of God, and he remained speechless and lay as a dead man. That's not where he met him at. This unique privilege was that God came to him. God came to him. And not have him in that celestial city, but met him in a desert place and in a burning bush on top of that. What a unique experience. What a unique privilege that a God who creates everything and knows everything and provided salvation for all of the human race would come and meet a man in the desert. What a unique privilege that is. What an awesome thing that is. Notice the uniqueness of this privilege is also pictured not only in the place, but in his speaking to him. I mean, God spoke to him. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard God or not. I've heard him in the spirit, but he spoke to Moses. The Bible said there's never been a man that he talked to like he did Moses, face to face, and talked to him. God spoke to him. He heard the audible voice of God out of that bush. God spoke to him. The uniqueness of that encounter, God speaking to him, and he called his name, Moses, Moses. Oh, what an awesome thing. A uniqueness of this encounter, that God came to where he was and God spoke to him. But my dear friend, how many of you this morning, you know you're saved and heaven's your home, raise your hand. That same very God that spoke to Moses out of that bush, you'd never been able to raise your hand had it not been for him coming to where you were. Not one of you found God. He found you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He found you in a tobacco field. He found you in a little frame house. He found you down a dirt road. He found you in an old-fashioned church. He came to where you were and the uniqueness of that encounter. God, having billions of people around the world and having people all over the world, He came to where you were and He spoke to you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And not only did He speak to you, not a general call, but a specific call. He called you by name. He knows your name. He spoke to you. I don't know about you, but boy, I'm going to tell you right now, you ought to be feeling a little something tingling right now that a God, this great God, this awesome God, came in a unique experience and spoke your name. You're not going to die and go to hell. You're going to live forever in heaven because of His coming to where you were. He convicted you of your sin, showed you the Savior, and you trusted Christ. What an awesome thing to have an encounter with that God. And He's real. He's here now. And He's come to speak to your heart. And He's speaking in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And you think about the uniqueness of that privilege that God would be here. That God would speak to you. That God would come to you individually and speak to you. What an awesome thing. But He said, you go tell them, that tell the Egyptians that God hath met with us. Think about the unique privilege you have when you come into this place. He's with us individually. He dwells inside of every believer. He came to you, spoke to you by name. He knows you individually. But He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He made a promise that when we gather in assembly, that He'd be here in His person in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The uniqueness of this privilege. You're here now. I don't have a thing in the world against Scotty McCreary. But if I were to announce on the radio and get it out this afternoon, somehow or another get it spread all over Garner and all over the state of North Carolina, that tonight at Benson Grove Baptist Church, we'll have a unique visitor. His name is Scotty McCreary. He's going to come. He's going to do a concert right here in our auditorium tonight. You'd have to get here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for a 6:30 service because people would flock from all over the place to come and hear him. I don't have a thing against him. I think he's a good young man. I believe he's a Christian. But I'm telling you this. Here's the uniqueness of your privilege, that every service, the Holy Ghost of God, God, this awesome God, this awesome God of creation, this awesome God of salvation, He made a promise, I'll be there. You may not be here, but He said, I'm going to be there. That ought to do something to you. Just think about the uniqueness of the privilege. He makes no promise that He'll be at the ball field, makes no promise that He'll be down at the beach, but He said, where you gather together in my name, I'll be there. There's nothing here to draw Him so far as our wealth, nothing to draw Him here so far as our abilities or our skills or our person. But my dear friend, He comes because He's chosen to come. And the uniqueness of that is He comes because He wants to come. Hallelujah. Think about that. The God of this universe, the God of creation, the God of salvation wants to meet with you and He wants to worship. He wants you to worship Him and He wants to encourage you. He wants you to cast all your cares on Him. He wants you to make your petitions known to Him. Thank God for that. The God, this God, had met with us. The uniqueness of that privilege. You're sitting now in the very presence of a holy God. Wow. And He knows your name. And He knows all you need. And He knows all about you. And He's not here because He had to come. He's here because He wanted to come. He's here to speak to you and speak to me because He loves us with an everlasting love. He's here to minister our heart's need because He chose to come. There's nothing that we've made Him come. We've not prayed Him down. We've not promoted Him down. We've not, none of that. He said, I'll be there. He wants to be here. Oh, the uniqueness of that privilege. Oh, listen, you can leave out of here today and meet somebody and say, God hath met with us. The uniqueness of that privilege. Oh, listen, notice, if you will, the intent of that meeting, the purpose, the planned purpose of that meeting. He met with Moses, and He had something in mind for Moses to do. And He says, you go tell those people that I've met with you. And then you go tell Pharaoh that I've met with you. I've met with you. And He came down. He said, I've come down to bring you up, to bring you out, and to bring you into the promised land. He says to them, He said, I've come. I've heard their cries. I know their sorrows. Can I tell you the uniqueness of this encounter and the intended purpose of it? He's coming to a people who need help. And he's here today for people who need help. Who need help. Tonight we're going to have Eric and Laura Ollis. And she shared a testimony last night. They were up in Pennsylvania singing. She'll probably do it tonight. And she said she just, as they got started, they saw a little lady there. And she said just she was drawn to her. She said she looked, she was disconnected from everybody there, like she didn't fit in. But she could just see on her face anxiety and worry and fear. And she said she was just drawn to her. And the Holy Ghost of God worked before that service over. She said she knelt with that lady. And that lady said, "This is my last chance. This is going to be my last opportunity." And she already had it planned to kill herself. If God didn't meet her and God didn't do something for her in that service, that she's going to kill herself after that service. That was her last opportunity. That was her last out. The only thing that she could, if God didn't meet her need, if God didn't meet with her, the uniqueness of his of this meeting, but notice the intended purpose. He's come to people who've got a sorrow, to people who've got a who are in bondage, to people who've got need, and he's come to meet with them, to deliver them out. God came this morning to do something for you. He came to meet you. And for those who has already come to, he's come to this place for us to worship him and magnify him and thank him for what he's done for us. I don't know what your need is, but here you sit today in the presence of a holy God. A holy God. And he came to where you are. Not many days from now, there'll not be a choice for you. There'll not be a choice. Because not long from now, in regard to the rapture of the church, he won't come to us. He'll come and get us and bring us to him. And every person in this building at some time will be summoned to stand. If you don't know Christ, you'll not have a choice. He'll draw you into the very his very presence at the white throne judgment for final separation from him and a final placing into a lake of fire for all eternity. He has that prerogative, and he has that power, and it's in his plan. But right now, he's come with an intended purpose. That is to meet every need of every individual in this building. He's here to do that. Your Heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. He knows. And for you who are lost, he knows your need. He's already made provision for that need. Salvation is provided through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's made available for you now. You can have it now. God had met with us. I don't know if that means anything to you or not. But you have, what a unique privilege this morning to sit here in the very presence of a holy God. I want to feel him. I want to know him. I want him to make himself manifest in the hearts and lives of people. God is here. The Holy Ghost of God's here in this place. And you're sitting right now in the presence of one who holds the keys of life and death. You have to stand before him as a saved person at the judgment seat or as a lost person at the white throne. But this morning he came because he wants to be here. He came to meet your need. He came to minister to your heart. Whatever it is you need, he's got it. He knows everything. He can diagnose it. We've prayed for individuals who've been going through a series of tests, and it's not yet conclusive as to what the real problem is. And he doesn't have to run a series of tests. You don't have to wait 3 days for an answer. You don't have to wait 6 weeks for an answer. He knows what things you have need of before you ever ask him. No CAT scans, no blood tests, no DNA. He knows exactly what you need, and he can meet that need now, right now. Let's bow our heads together. With your heads bowed, eyes are closed. You're sitting now in a place bathed in the very presence of a holy God. God hath met with us. Wow. The awesomeness of his person. I'm talking about the Creator God, the God of salvation, the God who is omniscient, he knows everything. He's omnipotent, he can do everything. And the God who's omnipresent, he's here in this place in a unique way. He's all over this universe. His feet print are trampled on worlds that we don't even know about yet. He's God. His fingerprints on every mountain and every river and every planet and every star and suns that we've never discovered yet. That God's here in this place. That God comes to you by his choice. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He knew your name and knew all about you and knew everything you do. And on Calvary's cross, he placed all of your sin on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't know him. He knew you. You didn't care about him, but he cared about you. You had no thought of your eternity, but he planned already for your eternity. And this morning, he comes to draw you through the person of the Holy Spirit of God to take one step of faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that hath the Son hath life, and this morning you can be saved. Oh, the awesome person of this encounter. It's one thing for a preacher to plead with you. I'm honored and blessed to be able to preach this morning to you, but they're named preachers. This morning, Billy Graham could have stood in this pulpit, or those that you may have known in other circles, my great preacher friends of days gone by, men that are in history books of Christian history. D.L. Moody could have stood here. Charles Spurgeon could have stood here. But that's not the awesome person I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God who was before everything, who fashioned everything, who created everything, who sustains everything, who knows intricately every detail of every part of his creation. He knows the voices of all of his creative beings and all of his creative animal world. He knows their uniqueness. He knows their voice. There is communication, I believe, with all of my heart. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But that God has come this morning through the person of the Holy Spirit of God to tell you you need to trust him. You need to turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. And he's drawing you right now by the Holy Ghost of God. Now, what's your response? What will be your response? Will you come to him? Will you come to him? Will you step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, I receive you. He came unto his own received not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. While he speaks to you now, he's already made provision for your salvation. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you accept that free gift by faith this morning? And my dear friend, those of us who know Christ, he said, their sorrows and their cries have come up before me. He knows your sorrows. He knows your need. He knows your burden. He knows your care. And he didn't have to come this morning, but he did come because he wants to do one thing. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He wants to meet every need you've got this morning. Will you approach him? Will you do as Moses? He said to Moses, come hither. Come hither. And through the Holy Ghost of God this morning, he's calling you, come hither. Come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to me, you who are lost. I'll save you and give you everlasting life. Come to me, you broken heart, and I'll heal. Come to me, those who have needs, and I'll meet those needs. Come here. Come here. Will you come? Will you come and humbly bow before him? Humbly come and receive him? Humbly come and cast your cares on him? I want us to stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. This awesome person of this encounter. Oh, the awesome, the unique privilege for him to choose to come here, for him to know you, choose to speak to your heart. Choose to convict you right now. Oh, don't wish that away. Don't say, I'll be glad when he quits. I'll be glad when I leave. I believe I'll be glad when I get out of this building and get away from what I'm feeling right now. Oh, that's the Holy Ghost of God, and he wants to save you. He wants to give you everlasting life. And you'll miss out on the joy you've never known, the forgiveness and eternity in heaven. Don't wish it away. Come, respond to him right now. And my dear friend, whatever that need is, burden is, will you cast it on him? He cares for you. He said, you go tell Pharaoh, we need to go and we need to sacrifice. We need to worship. There's some of you here this morning. The Holy Ghost of God's here in this place and you've come to worship him. You need to just worship him right where you are. Lift your hands to him and worship in your heart audibly, what physically ever high it is. But maybe come stand around this altar and kneel at this altar, but worship him this morning. He's here. He's here. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows everything about you. Magnify him this morning. Worship him. Adore him this morning. Give him glory. Give him glory. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God will do in men and women, boys and girls, what I cannot do. I pray, God, that they'll sense and feel the awesome presence of your person. Ah, Father, what a unique privilege. God, we are not worthy of the least of your blessings. Our Father, showers of rain and abundance of food and health and healing for our body. But God, for you to be here in your person. Oh, God, what a unique privilege that God of this universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Elijah and Elisha, the God of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul, John the Revelator, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in his divine persons here this morning. Thank you, Holy Ghost of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. And God, I pray, God, this morning, that God, you'll do what we can't do. God, you breathe. You fashion man out of the dust of the earth, breathe into his nostrils, breath of life. I pray some dear soul can be born again, experience life this morning.